All right, it's 6 o'clock. We'll call this meeting to order. I'll need adoption, amendment of the agenda. I need a motion.
So moved.
I have a motion and a second.
Second.
Second from Mary. Any discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Approval of the March 20th, 2000 board meeting. I need a motion. Motion and a second, please.
I'll second.
And a second. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Forum, did we have any? Okay, nothing on the public, okay. Financials. Looks like you have an addendum on your, in front of you. And motion, we'll need a motion to pay the bills.
So moved.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Financial report. That was emailed to everyone. Has everybody got those? I'll need a motion to approve the financial report.
I'll motion that.
And a second?
Second.
Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Auditor's report. Looks like we have a guest. It's Nancy, right?
Yes.
All right.
Good evening. Thank you for giving me some time to go over the results of our audit tonight. Instead of going through the booklets or even a PowerPoint this year, what we have for you is a one-page summary, and I think it's in your agenda packets.
Page 7.
All right, so really high level, our ultimate goal and our responsibility as your auditors is to issue an opinion on your financial statements and what we're issuing for the Great River Regional Library for the year ended December 31st, 2017 is an unmodified opinion, which is a clean opinion, if you will, basically an indication that your financial statements are fairly stated in all material respects based on our audit. In addition to that report, we issue a report on our audit in accordance with government auditing standards. So because of some of the funding that you receive, we're required to take a little bit of a closer look at your internal controls and your compliance with laws, regulations, contracts, grants, those things. Based on the results of that, we did have two findings, and they're the same findings that the library has been receiving for as long as I've worked with this client. They are the lack of segregation of accounting duties and the preparation of the financial statements. So simply due to the limited staff that's in the finance office, there isn't a complete segregation of duties. As auditors, we have the option for three levels of findings, material weakness being the most severe, and then significant deficiency being written, which is where these are. So kind of a middle level finding, not something that at this point we're recommending that you correct, but something as a board you need to remain aware of. So any questions on those findings? All right, then just a little bit about the results, the financial results for the year. If we compare 2016 to 2017, your revenues were up about $331,000. Some individual pieces going into that. First of all, your RLTA grant, you had increased expenditures that were you charged to that, so you had increased reimbursements. That's an expenditure reimbursement grant. Your RLBSS funding, increased, that award increased for the year, so you had increased revenues there. Also the legacy grant, increased expenditures and revenues related to that. And then finally a 1.1% increase in the regional receipts that was approved as part of the budget approval process for 2017. On the flip side of that, your expenditures actually decreased for 2017. And most of what's happening there is salaries are your largest expenditure. And because the library participates in the statewide pensions, a couple of years ago we implemented a standard that required you to record your proportionate share of the net pension liability. 2017, actually their year ended 2016, the pension saw some favorable results as far as the investment income goes and some of the other assumptions that they used. So the pension expense for 2017 actually decreased, thereby decreasing your overall expenses related to payroll. So with those two things, the revenues increasing, the expenses decreasing, your net position increased by about $97,000 for the year. The net position, if you look at the chart on the bottom of this page, that's your net position. You'll see a large decrease in 2015. That's the implementation of that GASB 68, those pension standards, when we recorded that large pension liability on your statements. Since then, it's been fairly stable if you look at the overall. And your net position, which is your equity, if you will, your value at the end of the year, is broken down into three categories. The first one being the unrestricted. That number actually increased by about $244,000 for the year. That's the amount that you theoretically have available for future spending. Along with that, you have a small restriction. Those are your gift funds. So donors that have earmarked money for a specific purpose are set aside. That's about $50,000 at the end of the year. And then the other category is the largest category of your net position, and that's your net investment in capital assets. So all of your assets, equipment, books, periodicals, all of those things, less any depreciation, which is the using up of those assets over their useful life, you have a value of just under $5.2 million at the end of the year. So any questions on any of that?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to look at page 8 with regard to the communication letter where it talks about the library applies a three-part formula. Do you look at that three-part formula at all?
We look at it for reasonableness. Okay. We look at prior year compared to current year and then factored in the 1.1% increase to make sure that that was a reasonable.
Okay.
We don't recalculate.
Because there was a time, one time actually, was Aaron found it when he became in his position now, that those numbers had not changed for a period of time. And I was wondering if there was somebody besides our own department that should have caught that.
Yeah, I can't speak to that directly without more specifics, but I do know that we make sure that it is in alignment with the budget that the board approves every year. And then, like I said, also we check year to year, does it make sense, the change that occurred with the regional receipts, does that make sense?
All right, I'm going to ask for a motion to approve the auditor's report.
Mr. Chairman, the regional receipts went down 2%, Nancy. Why was that from 16 to 17?
The regional receipts actually increased.
Oh, they increased
just a little
2%.
Bit. Yeah.
Got it.
By 1.1%.
That shows you how good my memory is.
Okay.
I knew it was 2%. I forgot which way it went.
And again, I'll ask for a motion and a second for more discussion.
So moved.
I have a motion. I need a second.
Second.
Is there any more questions or discussions? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you.
Chair, does that mean there's no public flogging of Aaron this year? He's okay?
Until Nancy leaves the room.
All right, then I'm going to go.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
If you like.
Thank you. And I would like to extend my thanks to Aaron and his staff. They were very well prepared for the audit.
That was the fastest, easiest, and painless report I've ever heard from an auditor. Thank you.
I buy a Harley Davidson, he's all of a sudden he's happy.
Unfortunately, the cost was the same.
Yeah, I know.
I guess, you know, this was brought up over the time where, again, some of us sit on the same boards where the auditor doesn't come in. Is this something that we want to continue? I think the price would stay the same, but do we want somebody to come and present next year, or do we just, you know, get the report and go from there? I guess that would be a question I'd like to oppose. Or
well, Mr. Chair, if it stays like this, I have no problem with it. If it's that short and sweet. I think, aren't they required by law to come to the board to report, or no?
No, they're just required to do the audit.
So they don't have.
And we kind of downsized. I told her we had to come in with one page.
This
so that's
great.
That's where we have that. So it makes a little bit simpler for everybody. So,
Mr. Chair, why would we not want them to be accountable or without the ability to ask questions without
good, fair question.
Difficulty?
Again, something, you know, again, it's just, you know, if the question would be, we could present the question and give it to her, and hopefully she can get, I'm sure they'd get back to us. It's just a thought, save time, move forward faster in the meetings if that's something. Otherwise, save. This was pretty fast. This was not a 20-minute or half an hour presentation.
Mr. Chairman, I always had a pet peeve with audits, you know, because of course they require you to have the audits, especially in cities. They ask the city staff to bring the financials. Well, if you're cooking the books, you're giving them it, they're looking at it.
Right.
I know it's required, and of course they lobby very heavily that these audits are required, because of course they make a lot of money doing that. And my pet peeve always was the first three pages of the disclaimer, if anything hit the
right.
fan.
Yeah, they're not responsible.
Not even a signature there. That so the accountability, if it's this short, a short audit necessarily isn't a good audit, but it is what it is. But if something was wrong, they'd have some accountability because they did appear before a public board. They did present the audit. Because I can, if you read the first three pages, which it's the same stuff that I read 10 years ago,
yeah.
it pretty much says if something's wrong, it's not our fault.
Right.
It's because Aaron didn't give us the proper documentation or... But at least there's some accountability if they have to make an appearance before us, in my opinion. And like you said, the cost is the same. But
from gathering, then will this next year we'll have her present? Yeah. All right. Thank you for that information. Okay, moving on. Annual review. The fund balance. I'll need a motion for and a second for more discussion.
On page 9.
Mr. Chairman, are we're not in this, we're not assigning this anything, obviously. It's
no,
not
it's
assigned
just,
funds.
Right, it's just approving that you've seen it.
One time, I don't know if it was tonight, but in the past, we've tried to assign those. Are they going to be assigned other than?
The assignments usually come at the end of a budget year when we know there's a surplus coming out of the budget. This number is something that's often brought up in that discussion so that you have an idea of how much is already in the reserve.
So the unassigned is the 584,000. That's the increase.
If I may, the actual unassigned fund balance at the end of 2017 per the audit was 5,061,645. From that, every January when we do the designations for the next year, that's where these less numbers come from. And so, because we're using those in the current year budget, so I subtract them from the end of the year prior to give you the 4.9 million. And basically, so I can just give you a quick run through here. The operating budget for this year is $9.2 million. If you take that and divide it by 12, you get $766,000 average expenditures for the month. Per month. And then, so if you take that off of there, you got a 3-month minimum that we like to keep that we're required to do, which is $2.3 million. And so that brings it to a total of 6.44 months in reserve from the 4.9 million.
So that means if we had to shut the doors and whatever, we could still
survive.
We could survive for about 6.5 months.
6.5 months.
And that is that a what's the dollar amount that we're required? That's about right, isn't it? 6 months? Is that what it is? 3 months.
3 months.
3 months is the minimum.
Okay. Yeah. So we're 100% over that.
I'd rather
policy
have a 6 month reserve because then you don't have problems because if some a boiler.
And so what you're seeing at the very bottom is his increase in unassigned fund balance. I put a little note down here. It's mainly due to the reduction in that net pension liability that Nancy spoke about, plus combined with our 2017 annual surplus from the operating.
Mr. Chair, that pension liability, is that going to fluctuate?
Yes.
It went up and now it's gone down a little bit.
It all depends on PERA's investment, return on investment that they get for investing the funds that they have in the pool. So if 1 year they do really well, then the pension liability on our proportionate share goes down. But if they don't do so well, then obviously it proportionally goes the other direction.
And who's in charge of that? The state?
PERA does it. PERA is the one that sends out their actuarial experiences or experiences that they actually thought they were going to get versus what they actually got for returns.
Mr. Chair, do we have a fiscal reserve policy? Do we? On what we do we set a maximum we want in reserve, so we just get, do we just keep dumping money into? No, I'm saying us. Do we keep dumping money into the reserve and letting it build up and up and up and up, and what, and then our program suffering because we don't have the money to do the programs, yet we keep building our reserves?
Historically, that's the direction the board's taken. The policy says we have between three and six months on the books. Last year, I think, was the year we finally popped over the actual six-month mark.
And I, that's a good point. My, if we would, say, keep 4 months in reserves, what could we do with the other 2 months? If we, you know, again, it seems like we've never had any problem in the last couple years with the funds.
No, the biggest question mark we ever ran into was when the state shut down, and we had contracted a bunch of legacy performers with the anticipation we would start receiving funds, and then they didn't come for a really long time. So we actually ended up tapping into reserve to pay out what we had contracted. We stopped contracting at that point when the money stopped coming, and then had to kick it back into gear once the money did come through. But that's usually what happens, is the state doesn't pay on time, and then we have to tap into the reserve to keep things moving forward.
But I mean, that's a lot of money if you look at a 6 month.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and again,
it is.
Bringing up a point, what we don't have an ordinance or policy, such as Dave said, is that why are we say, okay, let's keep minimum, even the state says 3 to 6 months, why don't we just say, you know what, let's keep 4 months in there and let's do something else with the two. Is that,
and then what
question?
Do we do with the rest of the money, the policy?
Right. What can we do with it? Yeah?
That's my question. Are we, can we utilize it for programs and resources and things like that?
However the board would choose to
designate it. Could we use it for salaries?
If the board would choose to designate it that way. The tricky part with salaries is it's one-time money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so when you're building it into operating, you have to keep that in mind. But if it's special projects, you know, we've set aside some of the money in the past for express checkout machines. We set aside money for the innovation fund at the end of last year. We've invested in the digital library. The board could choose to do something other than allow those surplus funds to go into reserve. It's just historically that's what the board has elected to do. In some years, the board has chosen not to approve the designations that we've brought forward also, like, because we wanted to reach the 6 months mark in some people's minds.
And Mr. Chair, I'm probably the one on the bad guy here. I was the one pushing for the 6 months because that's my safety net level. And we've hit the 6.44, so we're there. I just like that because, you know, state shutdown, anything like that, you're covered because don't like dipping. I mean, I've had my board say, well, I'm happy with 4 months. And then they saw all the problems that could come up, and then they decide, okay, maybe 5 months we're fine with. You know, I'm okay. But going down to four, I'd still back leery because that's, you're down below that when I first got on. I want to get this closer to that 6 month because that keeps it from having the problem that comes up. But I do believe that 6.44, we can take at least part of that and
could we use it for the ROBS, the regional library? Could we use it for that too if we wanted to?
Like, we could add a reserve line into the budget, but we'd have to really keep an eye on how that would work because it's one-time funds and you're banking on it for the next budget year, not knowing what that RLBSS figure will actually come out at.
If I may say so, it'd be best if that money was used for like one-time things, purchases of vehicles or, you know, something that doesn't add to your base every year.
Right.
It doesn't change from year to year. Mr. Chairman, I know there's more than one county commissioner that would like to see their proration go down a little bit. That's your guys' deal. But usually if you're budgeting, you know, budget's for a budget. And if you're over budget, well, then you maybe are saving too much. So. But that's a commissioner thing. But
well, Jeff, we talked about that at the finance committee.
The elephant in the living room. Yeah. There we go.
We thought,
Jeff.
That
I'd bring it up.
We thought it was a little risky because we can lower it and lower it, and then all of a sudden it catches up to you if you don't have any more money to keep. So,
Hey, you had a question?
Well, I would rather see a one-time project than to get it in the revolving. You know, so you're using it year after year because it'll come back to haunt you.
Yes.
I too, Mr. Chair, please. Would prefer to see it a one-time project. I also would like to be more conscientious of it in the future, that we don't, this is too much for me, for us to have in the bank. I'm comfortable with a little less.
Does the legislator look at that and say, boy, Great River's got a lot of money in there, we're not going to give them as much? They don't look at that.
No, that is no bearing.
Jim, you had a question?
Yeah, we probably should have and direct the administration to come up with a wish list, which would be a one-time wish list, and bring that back to us, and then we could evaluate those items and determine maybe we should spend some money on that.
We did that last year, didn't we?
End of the year, we always ask for designations from the surplus, because we don't always know what that dollar is going to be, but we also haven't gotten clear direction from the board that there was a desire to keep the surplus below a certain amount.
Well, Mr. Chair, I believe we'd be better off to invest it in the programs that we're only getting 1% interest, right, a little over on most of our, about 2% maybe.
On the CDs?
Yeah.
Currently, they're around the 2.19 mark.
We're not making much money on the CDs. I'd like to see it invested in the programs.
So, Mr. Chair, maybe it's we've done some of those express checkouts. Maybe that's another place, because that'll take some of those single-person libraries and help some of those ones that weren't getting it before. Maybe expand that to include more of those. And that would help you smaller counties help get modernized here.
I just had our library coordinator ask for some funds from the Lions Club. But, again, maybe we could give it to, a grant if they want to see what they can use their money for. Wake Park or Kimball, maybe we can just give it to those libraries too. So that'd be like a one-time need that they may have.
I do have a vehicle I could replace.
Yours?
Just throwing that out there.
No.
Harley?
I think she's still got a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a good investment. To deal with. I mean, if you have to do it, you should.
So the suggestions would be?
Vehicle, express checkout, and other things that the admin administration thinks about.
Lisa brought this up. Like, the dollar amount is high, but where would we want to reduce it to? Do we want to reduce it to 4 months or 5 months, or just a thought?
I would not be happy with 4 months. I think I agree with Commissioner Potter that, five would be better, and there's nothing wrong with six. You know, that's what, 4.9 million or something.
4.6
million.
4.6 million.
I wasn't here for finance, but a reduction to county sure would be in order for me.
I might be outvoted on that one.
So I'll put this out there again. So should we just get some ideas from the administration and the staff and maybe
add that to the June?
Yeah, and the other part I see is that if, a vehicle, you do it today when you got some cash, and you won't have to do it in hard times.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the hard times will come back. Everybody knows that. We're not going
to. But maybe we, as we're having a finance meeting in June, bring us some information back to that, and we'll go from there, including the county commissioners.
Mr. Chair, for one time.
One
or
time.
For a one time, yep.
And so, Mr. Chair, are we suggesting the 0.44 part of that budget, so we stay at 6 months? That's kind of what I'm hearing.
I'll bring that out to a motion, but again, I guess, would we want to see what this money would be used for, and then maybe at the finance, then we could make a motion at that time?
I think that would be smart.
Okay.
Wait until we see
the we have,
here.
Right. Maybe Aaron's going to come with a Harley.
Mr. Chairman, on that list, I would recommend that we also include the reduction of the county share as part of those individual one-time.
Right. And that helps service for people.
No, it's okay.
Yep.
That should be the big part.
We still need the
report. Yeah, we'll get to that.
This is the time to do it.
Okay, so we're going to need a motion on the annual review.
I'll make that motion.
5.4, and I need a second. Any more discussion? If none, those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Consent agenda, 6.1, Regional Library Basic System Support Application.
Our 2019 application.
What page is that on?
11.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the Regional Library Support System application.
All right, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
I have a second. Any more discussion? Favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Anything else on the consent agenda? Look like it. And I was 7.1, Summer Reading Program. Karen?
This is the letter that was mailed out to generally businesses. It was mailed to 299 individuals or businesses who had contributed to the summer reading program.
It's kind of page 19 in your packet, 1920.
And Fund Development Committee helped develop it, and we're excited to hear what the results will be.
When did it go out again?
I don't know if it dropped in the mail yet. Like, the postage was paid, and it might mail today or tomorrow.
Oh, I see.
It's in process, but I don't know that it's actually hit the mailbox yet.
Is that bulk mail? Does it go out bulk, or what is that?
It's a nonprofit. It's at the nonprofit rate. I think it cost us, I think, between printing and postage, less than $100 to send out. So, yeah, it was very cost-effective.
And how much did we receive last year?
We received $2,500 last year from this appeal, but prior year appeals had brought in between $4,000 and $6,000. All of the summer reading program regional prizes are paid for through donations. So last year, the St. Cloud Friends of the Library actually picked up the difference so that we could continue the program as is. We're hoping to raise about $5,800 to $6,000, but we'll see what happens because we haven't changed much other than how we're mailing this. Last year, it was mailed to a different list.
Any more discussion? All right, it's just a discussion item. Okay, nothing else on the communications. Presentations.
We don't have any separate presentations tonight because it'll be incorporated as part of the closed session.
Oh, okay. All right, 9.1, Executive Director's Report.
In the interest of time, there isn't a lot of new news. We did send the lease out last Friday for first draft to the City of St. Cloud. Have not heard back a response yet. A big part of that lease is consideration of changing how we use the automated materials handling system, so you might want to take a look at that on your way out today. There's an outdoor return right here, and there's actually a tunnel that goes underneath here and pops out in the circulation room, and that's been a real problem, not just from the system perspective, but also from a building heating perspective. And so one of our recommendations with the lease is to eliminate that tunnel and just use the interior part of the system going forward and having the city help us get to that point. Right now, the maintenance contract on the machine is $40,000 a year, and we pay 18% of that in the current agreement. The city would like us to pay all of it, so I think that will be a big part of how the lease negotiations play out. And so thanks to Ed and Dave, who were on phone a friend for me while we were working on the last minutes of the lease. I'll keep you all informed as that moves forward.
So what's the heat loss or cooling loss?
Well, it's,
is that a portion of it?
It's a portion of it. It was a factor in why the chiller system actually failed, because that tunnel is heated. It has baseboard heat right now that's kept at 150 degrees so that the conveyor belt, which is about waist level, is at 70 degrees. And the heat from that tunnel rises up into the circulation area, which impacts the rest of the building because it's not tied into the heating system. The city did a recommission study as part of the boiler revamp and estimated $16,000 would be the cost to redo the heating system for the tunnel, which is a totally separate issue that we haven't really talked about in depth with them yet. So getting rid of the tunnel long-term seems like the best strategy. We do need to find a way to get books into the building from outside. So what we are talking about is maybe poking a hole in the coffee shop and using that space as one option. We've also talked about adding additional exterior book drops, but a lot needs to be fleshed out for that to happen.
And so the belt would be no longer in use if we would...
Right. Well, and keep in mind that the belt, when it tore last year, cost $1,000 to fix above the cost of the maintenance contract. Had we needed to replace that section of the belt, it would have been $8,000.
Yeah.
So it's just a really expensive part of the machine. And when we look at the maintenance history for the machine, a lot of it's directly related to that tunnel.
I just shared with Dan, Mr. Chairman, that the sad part is some engineer got paid a lot of money to design that.
I really wish.
We are sitting there.
Yeah. If we could rewind.
Yeah, it was a good idea at the time.
Maybe. I'm not sure if it was a good idea.
Maybe.
Everybody works so much better.
Sending it down's not the problem, it's getting it back up, you know. Well, and there's a curve, too, so.
Well, you could probably hire somebody.
There's a curve down there.
And what's the name of that machine that's got a name, right?
We call it Wally.
Wally, so, but Wally could be worth, Wally could be worth $1 million, Wally could be worth a dollar.
Right,
that's the problem, because they don't make them anymore.
Well, they make them. I don't think they make them the way they make that tunnel, though. I really don't. I am unaware of any other library that has a tunnel like ours.
And I'm sure you'd be happy to give everybody a tour if they'd want to come and see the tunnel.
It does require going down a ladder similar to climbing a silo, so you're afraid of heights.
It's just a hole in the floor.
Sounding better and better.
Karen, with regard to Howard Lake now, there's... You were there yesterday or earlier. How did, are they okay now? Are they still concerned about losing hours?
Well, so I did attend the Howard Lake Friends of the Library meeting. I was there with Brandy. There were about 11 people there.
Yeah.
And of the 11 people, I would say 4 of them left still very dissatisfied about the direction that we're on, but one of them is our former employee. And we are looking at just making that decision final, because some of the questions we were getting had a lot to do with the uncertainty. Like, what are you really going to post the position at? What are you doing about the vacant position? How is that going to impact? And, you know, long term, we've seen a lot of turnover at that library services coordinator level. It has major ripple effects through the whole organization every time one of those positions turn over. So if we have an existing employee who looks like they're going to stick around for a while, especially if we add additional responsibilities and a benefit package, I don't know why we wouldn't move forward. It just doesn't make sense to do it any other way. We just saw another resignation in Big Lake. That's the third time that position's turned over in the last, I think, 5 or 6 years. We just are not retaining people with a bachelor's degree for part-time employment the way we used to.
Times are different.
Right.
Times are very different. And we're in Wright County, which means recruitment will probably be even more difficult. What we're seeing is in that lower part of the region, it's harder to fill positions quickly because the applicant pools aren't as deep.
Right. All right. Anything else, Karen, on the executive director's report? All right. 9.2, management reports. Strategic plan progress.
The strategic plan the updates are included at the beginning of each department's area.
That begins on 23 page, I think, right?
If you have specific questions, we can certainly answer them. Not everyone's here tonight.
Okay. Anybody have any questions at all? We'll move on to 9.
I have one question.
Yep.
With regard to Swansville. We're providing books. Do the teachers ever request textbook or books for their classes?
Oh, I wanted to clarify something on that too. The Swanville Management Report, when Patty and I were editing it, somehow there was a question inserted into Ryan's report, so we apologize for that. I'm trying to find it.
24? Yeah, page 24.
It is the middle school and high school students that are participating in that Swanville project. And in terms of your question.
Do the teachers ask for books? For, you know, if they're doing geography, they might ask for books in different countries and stuff like that?
I'm not aware of Swanville's specific activity.
Yeah, I can't speak to that specifically, but we do have an educator request form that any teacher in any of our system, they can fill out that form requesting materials on a specific topic, and our librarians here in St. Cloud will gather those things for them and send them out to them.
Okay. Thank you.
Speaking of that, Karen, what has, did you get a chance to meet with the Sartell superintendent, and what happened with that?
Yes, Jamie and I met with the Sartell superintendent, the assistant superintendent, I believe it was a principal for one of the buildings. We talked about what the library assessment plan says in terms of alternative library service options. The two that seemed the most likely possibilities were the community mini library or deposit collection. The school is really interested in getting specific books in the hands of kids and not having to manage that in terms of getting things back on time. So the institutional account for that school wouldn't work in the way they would like. We presented the options, and we talked about the locker system in the community center, and they were going to get back to us. I think the biggest consideration we would have here at the Great River Board, should that idea move forward, is whether it would make sense from a capacity perspective to contract with a school to provide library service. And while there's interest, there's also a lot of school districts here at Great River, and we only have so much dock space, we only have so much delivery space. So while we might get paid to do the service, there's also a capacity issue with what we'd be able to offer if another school wanted to do the same thing. And so if they come back to us with a proposal, that's something we'll have to talk about at that time.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Yep.
Karen, so this is, I mean, schools are eliminating libraries, mm-hmm. little schools, and maybe not so little schools.
I don't think
so. So they're coming to us looking for library service.
They phrased
yes
their,
or no?
they're remodeling their school. Their perspective is that Sartell will have a decentralized high school library, meaning that the books will be placed in the classrooms of the language arts teachers and available for students. They aren't going to check them out. They'll just have them and bring them back, and the teachers will manage it. But what the gap they're seeing is if someone in that classroom's read all the books, or if they want a specific book, they don't have the ability to fill that need. And so that's where they're hoping to fill the gap. I don't know what the answer is to that.
Why can't they just use the public library?
And you know, going back to, I had talked to the superintendent about your interesting teenagers to get a book out with no reminder date and trusting them to bring it back. I have discovered books in my house that have been there for a year and found out that they were supposed to go back. So that really does not make much sense to me. They keep insisting that that's the way that the new schools are going, and all new high schools that are being built do not have a centralized library.
That's not what we're seeing in central Minnesota. No. I mean, Royalton just finished their school project, mm-hmm. Albany just finished theirs, and they still have a media center.
Well, part of the problem is, you know, you have this one book that is in right now, so everybody wants to read it. And if you just have one copy with a teacher, you know, mm-hmm. what are you going to do?
Something we'll have to keep an eye on is when that school opens, which isn't for a while yet.
You can spend $126
million. It could impact the capacity of the locker system at the community center.
Get rid of the library.
And we're not really sure how that's going to play out yet, but it's something to keep an eye on.
Two principals, two assistant principals, four staff. Yeah.
Anything else?
Mr. Chair, speaking of the locker system, which in Aaron's report, backlog lack of capacity. What does that mean? We cannot fill 44 lockers at a time?
We fill 44 lockers, but sometimes there's still more than 44 people to be served when the delivery goes out. So there is some partial backlog between deliveries. It's not as big as it was.
Because we went to 2 days.
Right.
2 days.
Mr. Chair, on the institutional use of our library, how does that affect our user numbers?
This is a question we talked about in Todd County. That's a good question. So, for example, the Meals on Wheels homebound service we're experimenting with out in Todd and Morrison counties, there's one institutional card for all of the activity that's happening with that card, because the Meals on Wheels program is effectively checking it out, and then the materials go out to the individuals and come back, so that we don't have to worry about data privacy in terms of the card. The materials are actually packaged so that nobody's seeing what other people are checking out. It's a pilot project, but it does mean that, you know, we could potentially be serving 20 people with one card. And it's something to keep an eye on. When we're looking at borrower numbers as a metric of success, it has something
to do with our formulas, too, though.
To some degree, yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just kind of wonder how we could keep better track of that. I don't know, but on the numbers.
Yeah.
Which would be the same thing if we did a school thing.
Right.
Institutional.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As well.
I mean, we've always had institutional cards. It's just as we're expanding services, one of the barriers is having the card for some people. And so it's a trade-off between numbers and serving people.
You could do item count or something, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Great discussion. Building reports, 9.3. 31. I see Kimball is really
Kimball's
pushing to
yes.
get a library.
There are two current versions of the bonding bill, the House and the Senate.
Yep.
The House one is more favorable to public libraries.
Yep.
There's $1 million more in that one. So if you know of someone on the bonding decision-making group, please throw in support for public library bonding, because if we don't get $2 million in that public library bonding like we have in the past, there's a good chance Kimball wouldn't be able to rise to the top because there's so many projects statewide.
We might not get any bonding though.
They didn't pass it the last time there was a bonding session, so I'm not holding my breath. But
Mr. Chairman, with regard to Delano and Howard Lake, they're talking about water dip challenges. Is there any health issues there for our employees?
We haven't heard of any concerns at this point.
Howard Lake Kay. Is mold. In the Howard Lake one, Jim, they had
really?
Kind of a subpar repair, and then they actually got a real contractor in there. So this is a challenge of how that's still leaking there. Because they did, I had a come to Jesus meeting with Dick Hagemuller about that. You can't hire Scooter and Gunther from Litchfield to fix this. You've got to actually have real contractors fixing these problems. And so they did get a real contractor in there. I thought the problem was solved, but obviously it's coming from somewhere else now.
Yeah, there's a small amount of moisture coming in. It's definitely less than it was in the past, but there's still enough to make marks on the wall. So we've contacted the city. They're aware of it, and we'll be looking into it.
They need to have mold remediation. They do.
Yeah, and in terms of Delano, again, it's one where they thought that the repairs that they did with the sidewalks and stuff would take the water away. So unfortunately, that didn't work. But both cities have been really responsive. Delano's got staff coming over very frequently, just going down there checking how the situation is. It's not impacting staff in any way at this point, staff or patrons. So, but the city's really keeping on top of it. Thank you for asking.
Any more discussion, building reports? If not, we'll move on to 9.4.
One more thing.
Yep.
I like the dryers, the hand dryers in the bathroom. 9 years it took to get those.
His last year on the board, he finally got hand dryers.
Probably the same guy who designed the tunnel.
Are they powerful?
Do they save the old hand dryers for you? You can take them home.
Yeah, sure.
Do they meet your requirements for the airflow through them? All right. Like Dave was talking about.
Can we put that a fund balance into those kind of things?
Okay. First quarter stats. 9.4.
We are seeing an increase in online catalog requests. We're not sure what exactly to attribute that to. It's nice to see. We're hoping that circulation also follows that. Digital libraries flattening out. Borrower numbers were hoping to stabilize. They were actually up month over month this month. Program stats are still very strong. We've been pushing Lynda, the database, and Pronunciator pretty hard in our discussions with Career Solutions and conversations about the Electrolux layoff, because we're hearing there's a lot of like basic computer skills and English language skills that may be needed coming from that layoff. So we're hoping to be strong partners there with the services we're already offering. Circulation stats are 36, 37, 38. We are seeing a better April than what you're seeing in March. You'll see that in second quarter stats. Circ's still dropping slightly regionally, but some libraries are seeing growth. And we're still not really clear what the pattern is there. There's so many external factors that affect circulation, like was there a snow day or was there a road closure? So so just know that we're continuing to watch that. And Sartell's circling strong. I mean, over 3,000 checkouts through the month of April now.
Any questions on that at all? If not, staff recognition report, 9.5.
Congratulations to Peggy Ashenbergener. She celebrated her 35th today. Judy Weiss out in Foley, if you get that way, she's been with us 30 years now. They've seen a lot of change when you think about where the system was 30 years ago. I mean, that's pre-computers, so... Kudos to them for following us through all this time.
35 years,
yeah.
That's amazing.
It's back in the Carnegie era.
Okay, 9.6 human resource annual stats statistics.
Turnover is still remaining pretty steady. Julie and I pulled up statewide statistics. We're actually trending slightly below what the state average is in terms of turnover. So that's pretty good considering the climate that we're in.
And anything else? 9.7. So moving on to committee reports. Finance Committee.
Mr. Chair, the Finance Committee met today at 5 o'clock. Two main items. We reviewed the first quarter financial report and things we are very on target at 23.35% of our spending. And then we also again peeked at the 2019 preliminary budget. And we are asking the Finance Committee again to meet in June. And would like to discuss a piece of that preliminary budget with the entire board, and Karen will share more details of that.
So this kind of goes back to Ed's suggestion around county shares and the surplus. So regional library basic system support is 17% of our budget. It's our state aid. We typically don't get the number until after we've set our budget, so it's always guesswork. We are projecting, based on past experience, that we will get slightly more. So we've included $35,000 more in the budget for 2019 based on our gut, more or less. That being said, we only budgeted $1.5 million for 2018 and we received about $106,000 more than what we budgeted. So some of those dollars came in at the end of 17.
Okay.
So the rest of the dollars will come in 18. All of it is expended in 18. But the question for 2019 is, do we build in a factor knowing that there was an overage, a pretty significant overage last year? The tricky part is it's one-time money, and it's about a 50-50 chance that we could see a swing in the other direction at some point as well. And I can go into detail why that is if you're interested, but that, I think, on a high level, the question becomes, do we build in for the 2019 budget any factor reflecting that there was surplus in 2018?
You mean up or down?
Surplus, down. Up. It oh. was. Oh, well, and so the net effect is the state dollars always have to be expended. But when we set the budget, that sets the county shares. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the year, when we get more state funding, that dollar amount from the county shares become the surplus. And we always have to spend the state funding. So we can't talk about the surplus in terms of it being state dollars in our reserves. That's not what happens. The state dollars are spent. But because the budget is set in the cycle that it is and the way the county shares line up, the effect of us under budgeting for state funds means that counties paid more one year and it follows through into following years.
So what's the 5-year average, last 5 years?
It's like right around what we budgeted. And so the tricky part is like MELSA, the factor that changes is equalization. And that's where we will likely see a shift at some point.
Yeah. Some years it's goofy and some years.
And that's we had a nice discussion on that, and that's why we kind of put our minds in and we're having a finance meeting. Normally we don't have one in June, but we're going to be having one in June, whatever the date is. So.
And we would like to take into your opinions with this into our discussion in June. Especially those of you that aren't in on the finance
committee. It just seems like historical averages are good benchmarks to use, you know, for that type of thing.
Mr. Chair, so what you're talking about is adjusting the county contributions.
Possibly.
Possibly.
Possibly, yeah.
But again,
you're looking for input on that, like right now?
No, that's why we're having another finance to give it to see what, but it will come up to board.
Yeah, we'll have another finance. I mean, if you have opinions on it right now, yes, we would be interested in that. If you think of anything between now and our June finance meeting, we would be welcoming those comments.
We were missing two county commissioners at the meeting, so we really, that's one third of the county commissioners weren't at the meeting, so we want to make sure everybody gets input at the first finance committee.
So June finance meeting will be a good one to make.
Yeah, I just was like, today was not a good day.
Totally understand.
County board meeting this morning, and it's like.
Any more discussion on that? If not, I'm going to ask for a motion.
So moved.
And a second.
Second.
Any more discussion? Not those in favor.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. On the personnel committee, we'll ask for that. There was just basically one thing on there, and it was kind of the new position called communications and development coordinator. And you can kind of give a short.
It's reorganizing the PR department based on the recommendations that came from Library Strategies.
We have not had a PR person.
We've
since.
We've been missing the associate director of public relations. Position's been vacant since September, which means I've been overseeing the three PR staff since then. So this position would fill that vacancy. It would be posted at a slightly lower level. It's retitled and the expectations are changed. The position is a 50-50 split between fundraising and overseeing communications, with the understanding that at some point we may need a full-time dedicated development person. Right now we're not raising enough money to justify that. So if our fundraising plan, which we'll be talking about later, is effective, at that point we may want to take a look at splitting the communications responsibilities out into a separate position and making that position dedicated just for development.
This position is budgeted how?
It's budgeted because we held the Associate Director of Public Relations position open, and it is incorporated into the base budget as the vacancy. So it may actually be somewhat budget savings because we may be hiring the new person at a lower rate than what the old person left at. But we won't know that until we actually post and hire.
And for
Mr. Chair, it's just that this was vacant and we're just replacing that vacancy with a different title and a different person.
So different expectations, yes. And the whole department's being renamed. Yes. So it's not public relations right anymore, it's communications and development.
And with that, it looks like you want to post this starting tomorrow, correct?
That would be my hope.
Okay.
Chair, so we also approve the job description changes for the graphic designer position.
Right.
Any more discussion? I'll ask for a motion from the Personnel Committee. We got a motion. I need a second. And I have a second. Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. 10.3, Fund Development Committee.
Laura's going to do that. I can give a brief update on that. We met on May 2nd, so just a few days ago. The bulk of our conversation was about the library strategies report from their phone interviews. We talked about the strengths, the weaknesses, and the opportunities that were identified by the strategies company. And then that carried right into the communications and development coordinator job description that we just approved. So that was the bulk of our meeting. We did touch on the locally grown, reviewed the feedback and the results from that. And in our reports tonight, in Karen's management report, she was reporting that we had over $20,400 in locally grown funds. So the only other year that even comes close was back in 2011. We got just a little over $19,000. So changing the name and the emphasis from a high five over to locally grown has, helped a lot. We also talked about the summer reading program. That was the appeal letter that we saw back in 7.1 on tonight's agenda. And then we reviewed donor retention reports and a donor recognition poster that's going to be posted at each of our branch libraries, breaking it down into two sections, basically, of major donors and then also very significant donors, but naming folks by name. So we thought that was pretty nice. And then the last part of it was the upcoming grant opportunities, and I actually had to leave, so I'm not totally sure what all was talked about that. I know they touched on the LSTA, Community Foundations, and Stearns Electric, so I don't know if Karen wants to expand on that at all, or
we basically talked about opportunities that are coming up. The LSTA grant round should be coming up fairly soon, and in our work with Partner for Student Success, the Smalley Network, there's interest in maybe replicating a Hennepin County project in terms of having a Smalley cultural liaison on staff who can go out to the community and actually work with them one-on-one. There's also interest from the Career Solutions Group in seeing what grant opportunities might fit to get job seekers more skills before they're laid off at Electrolux. So we're watching that pretty closely.
Any questions?
Any comments on the meeting they had when they came out here with a lot of the employees plus some of the board members there? When they did that presentation to the board, and Dave and I were there, and they talked about
the funding.
That's part of the discussion with library strategies.
Okay. Central Minnesota Libraries Exchange Committee.
That's mine. We meet every other month only, and we met March 21st, and it was what I would call kind of a housekeeping meeting, election of officers. Our new chair, Karen was the chair for a while, but our new chair is Carla.
Carla Leiden.
Leiden from East Central. And approved the usual reports and then passed a motion for adoption of a mission statement, which reads, we partner with our members to help them provide quality service to the communities they serve using research, advocacy, educating, and network building. And the general idea is to bring people together so they can share ideas and share successes and failures too, I suppose. So we adopted a vision statement and a strategic plan, which the goals are, in brief, advocacy, training and education, and connections with our communities. And their services are available to everyone. I think their primary users are school districts, actually. You know, as resources have declined in some areas for public schools in the area of libraries, CMLE will help bring people together to share ideas. And then we talked about our agreement with members and talked about a new name for Central Minnesota Library Exchange. That was tabled because we couldn't come up with anything that made any sense. So, and let's see, that's about it, actually. If you have questions.
Anybody have questions for Mary? Thank you for that report.
Good.
All right, moving on. Development and fundraising plan summary. Library strategies.
I talked to Stu just yesterday. This is the summary of the plan that the Fund Development Committee reviewed. We haven't talked about the plan specifics in depth yet. Stu doesn't anticipate coming back out to do a presentation to the full board unless there's some desire to do that. But nuts and bolts of this plan is it's not realistic to expect us to raise $1 million a year. It may be realistic over 10, 20 years to get to 500,000. And this plan that he's laid out gets us to double what we're raising within 3 to 5 years, which would be closer to 250. So there's a lot of guts that are in the full report in terms of timeline, like how many major donors we should get by year end, and adding actual community members to the Fund Development Committee who are tied to major donor networks. So that's the direction we'll start going in once we've hired somebody. You can kind of get a sense of the things that we will be doing in the next 2 years on page 49 in your packet. We need to hire somebody. We need to firm up the annual fundraising calendar. So you can see toward the end, we're actually getting new initiatives in place, like having a tribute and memorial program or advertising the benefits of having a planned giving program. We don't have a structure for that right now. So our hope is once we have someone hired that Stu will come back, meet with the Fund Development Committee and our new staff person, and then we'll hit the ground running.
Okay, thank you.
I was wondering, do we have Stu on a retainer? Did we decide
to He go? Hasn't closed out the contract yet. we could that? Have him on a retainer, and I think the number he quoted me was something like $3,000 a month. So we'll have to evaluate how long we want to keep him around. We do anticipate we'll need to contract with him to train the new staff person. He's guessing that our recruitment efforts will result in somebody who's stronger in communications. And his experience has been that it's easier to train a communications person into fundraising than the other direction, the fundraising person to oversee communications. So we're going in with the mindset that library strategies will help with onboarding the new person.
Any other questions? If not, we're going to move to 11.2, closed meeting for labor negotiations.
Thanks, guys.
So it's the highlighted words.
Yeah, I'm just waiting.
Okay, yeah.
Hopefully I'll do it.
Well, actually. We have to close.
Close it, say close it first, okay. Okay, we're going to close the meeting for labor negotiation, Minnesota Statute 13D.03. I'll need a motion and a second.
So move.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, then we have a time of 7:06. Okay, any new business? Okay. How about open forum? We'll start with Jeff.
I'm fine, thank you.
Dan? Moving on.
Good. I'm good. We had groundbreaking for the courts today.
All right.
Mm. New courthouse? Do you need this?
New courts. New justice.
Spending your money already.
What?
Spending your money already, huh?
That's right.
Steve, do you have anything in open forum? Jim?
Having family get there this weekend.
Right. Everybody had a good Mother's Day, right? Laura?
Yep. No,
Lisa?
I have nothing.
All right.
Good Mother's Day, Bob.
Okay.
Nothing new.
Myself, nope.
All that.
Yep.
Just
make a motion to adjourn.
Don't move.
Second.
Motion was Jim. Second was.
Want that friend or for a second?
Give it to Fran.
All
right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.